podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey there, creepies. Welcome to episode 41. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Brother Sean, brother Nate, what's going on?
Nothing too much. Another fun night together.
It is.
I'm creeped out.
Ooh, are you already?
Yeah.
I'm getting creeped out in our pre-discussion.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I got shivers.
You got shivers?
Got the shivers over here.
Going through a lot of different things.
Goosebumps here? Okay. Goosebumps?
Well, I got goose pimples.
Goose pimples. I like that even better.
Hey, goosebumps, goose pimples, whatever it takes here.
Yeah.
We're going to create the magic
What's the other one? Chill bumps?
Chill bumps.
There you go. Yeah. I've never heard chill bumps. I like that.
Oh, my gosh.
So we got goosebumps, goose pimples, and chill bumps.
We're going to bring it all out.
I hope the creepies get some chill bumps after this.
Oh, my God. I don't know how they won't be able to. Oh, my gosh.
But we,
creepy stuff.
Yeah. So we're getting after it tonight after a week off, right?
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving, so...
We're in between the holidays, right?
Two episodes ago.
Yeah, right.
By the time they hear this. Creepies, welcome to episode 41. We're excited to bring you another creepy topic. So.
Yeah.
But before that, Mr. Sean,
I have the pre-announcements, right? Yeah. First thing we want to always mention is the merch, our logo on whatever you want. Let us know. We'd love to have you support the show in that way.
Can't you just see yourself with a nice middle-aged and creeped out coffee mug, you know, with a little hot cocoa.
Snuggled up in a Mako blanket.
Oh, with a Mako blanket and looking at sitting on your Mako coaster and then.
Sipping a drink out of your little Mako shot glass.
Oh, that'd be my favorite, right?
I see where Nate's going.
And, taking us to Happy Town.
We might be doing that after this.
Hey, for the holidays, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
Putting your keys with your Mako keychain on the counter so you don't go anywhere.
Which I have over here.
With your
I already have on mine.
Calendar on the refrigerator held by a magnet, Mako magnet.
And if it wiggles, you can put a Mako sticker on the other corner.
Man, we're hard selling this, aren't we?
I like this merch push.
Creepies,
right?
Do you hear what we're saying?
Do you hear
we
us?
Got it all, man. All right.
The other thing we want to mention after merch is we would like...
We're worn out.
We would appreciate some ratings and reviews for this podcast.
Yes.
It helps our numbers, helps us grow. We want to keep this podcast alive. We want to keep it growing. It's the baby. We want it to be a teenager.
We check those that too, and we appreciate them so much.
Grow into a mature adult podcast, right?
Yes.
And we do check them, and we appreciate them. So thank you ahead of time.
We got to get mature first.
Exactly. We got to get mature. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
When's that going to be? It's not anytime soon.
Nah.
We also always want to highlight the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline, 1-800-662-4357. The last four on that's HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-8255. The last four on that's TALK. I want to go right into that, but mental health is important here.
Did you say mental health?
Mental health.
That's what I was going to say.
Did I say that?
Health. Mental health.
You know, speaking English language,
it's all right.
not my forte tonight. Thinking, also not my forte tonight.
You know,
I'm just going to put that out there.
You know when Johnny Ringo tells that guy in Tombstone, he says, your Spanish is worse than your English.
I know. That's me tonight.
My English is worse than my,
I have no language. I'm a man without a language.
That's a lot of, I get it. It's, you know.
Comprehension.
No problem.
Hey, but that's the pre-announcement.
We just knocked your pay down to back to zero.
I deserve that.
From zero.
Zero. Nothing from nothing leaves. Nothing.
Jack of all languages, master of none.
Of none. That's me. That's Shawnee.
You know what? That could have been a good, that's a wrap.
I know, yeah. All right. Let's hold on to that one, right?
thank you, sir, for that.
No problemo.
I just have one more. Just want to remind everybody for the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show here in Indy, July 16th from 6 to 10. Venue to be announced later, but hopefully Jerry gets those tickets up for sale, and you just go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
No, TBA.
Excited.
And it just directs you to the link, and so we'll just keep mentioning it. And Can't wait to,
We're so excited.
Like, I'm ready for Christmas, and then, okay, let's just go straight to July.
Yeah, straight to it, yeah.
Come hang out with us. It'll be a fun night.
Yeah.
We were cautiously excited. Now we're just excited.
Finally meet Jimbo and Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from the Tragedy of Cinema podcast. Those guys are great.
They're great podcast, so, right?
Local guys.
Great guys,
so,
yep.
So that's all I got.
All right. It's
pretty light again.
That's okay. Well, first of all, episode 41. Let's get heavy. This is a heavy topic we're going to talk about. I can't believe that we're already 41. We're inching close to 50. We'll zoom past that and be at 100. Who knows? You know, just
we're getting close to my age.
Going and going. I know exactly, right? We're almost on my age right now, right? We're in between
this is
Nate,
mine.
Nate. Yeah, I was like, we're on Nate's stage.
Wait a minute. You're 41?
41.
Oh, I thought you were 40. So, I mean, you are getting older. But are you 41? Okay.
You got him at the wrong age. You got me. Oh, you think I'm 43, right? You said I don't
look
like
a day over 53. No. So you're 43.
No,
42. Okay. 41, 42. Sam, many, how old are you, buddy?
Too many numbers.
Too old.
I thought he was 9. He's 10, though, right?
10. 10. 10 and a half.
10 and a half. That's what Jenna told me the other day. I was like, well, for a 9-year-old dog, she's like, he's 10 and a half. I'm like, no. So, numbers.
He's an old man.
Not too much on the numbers.
He gets around all right.
Oh, yeah, he does. Look at gets on that bed. Shoot.
It's nap time for him. It's bedtime.
He's like,
bedtime.
I can get on the bed just fine.
But to get to the topic, because it is going to be dark.
I've been waiting for this.
Here trying to like not get sucked down too much in the darkness, but here we go. It's on The Conjuring House. Whoop, whoop.
That's a Todd Hedges pick.
Oh, my gosh. So we've got.
Did we mention, by the way, did we mention the last two, the aliens and UFOs was the Nate picks?
We didn't. No, we did not.
Here it is, too.
I think we mentioned something about
We might have.
We kind of did in a roundabout way.
Episodes,
I think they kind of got it.
Over the podcast,
I just thought about that. We always got to mention whoever's idea it was for the
but now,
middle-aged
we all love us some aliens, even you. You're at 80-20. You told us. You can't take it. No take-backs. That's about where I'm at.
I might be 81-19. I'm not sure.
Ooh, changing it over there, huh?
Well, anyway, yeah. So,
but yeah. So, The Conjuring House has so many different venues, and I know I was going to bring up, you know, obviously it's got the movie aspect. There's there's the quote-unquote real history. There's all kind of different avenues, you know. So we're going to touch on a little bit of everything. One thing I wanted to highlight is that recently we had Christina and Sarah Lee from East Coast Paranormal that visited with us on our guest chat.
Yeah.
And they talked about that they actually went as a group to this house.
Yeah.
They said there was a lot of, it was pretty quiet, serene house, right? Mm-hmm. And they said it also was so compact that you couldn't like be really loud without hearing the, you know, people on the other parts of the house,
yeah,
which I thought was interesting. So
I actually appreciate that,
yeah,
because they, you know, I mean, they were straightforward, but I'm just saying I like that when an investigator or investigators mention that, you know, like mm-hmm. they don't just go, oh yeah, it was just all this, you know, all kinds of stuff going on and we couldn't keep up with all the activity. No, they're like, you know, pretty calm and you can hear and telling those little nuances like, yeah, you can kind of hear other areas, or you could be in the basement and you can hear above. I mean, I like that kind of little honest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought them up, though. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And it's like I said, it's when you hear about these places and then, you know, think about, oh, my gosh, how creepy they are and how they're presented, and then movies and Hollywood.
And then you talk to somebody
that's actually been there. It's just a whole different. It's a whole different peek into some of this stuff, you know.
It's awesome, you know.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, seriously, you've been there? You've been to Salem? You've been to or wherever? Yeah, like The Conjuring House.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So Mr. Sean, why don't you go ahead? Excuse me, as I lose my voice. Start us off, kind of telling maybe a little bit of the history of the house. If you know
I do, yeah. Inside the house that inspired, because there's so much bleed through with the Conjuring movie. The Conjuring House is a real-life 18th century farmhouse of horrors in Harrisville, Rhode Island, where 7 children have died over the years, and we talked about that a little bit in our pre-discussion. It may seem like any other peaceful historic farmhouse in the quaint Rhode Island suburbs, but this is actually the notorious house of horrors from the Conjuring franchise. So there's been some movies made about it. There's, you know, like I said, it bleeds into a lot of different, I guess you can call it the Conjuring universe, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But this was the first house. What we're talking about is based on the first movie, or the first movie is based on this, however you want to say it.
This is, and Corey and Jennifer Heinzen bought the farmhouse formerly known as the old, it's known as the Old Arnold Estate in June. The most recent is June of 2019 and has already documented several instances of paranormal activity. So there's a lot of, I don't know, we're going to go into this, I know, but it is from, you know, the people that have lived there, you know, you they have so many, you know, some people were terrorized by some of these spirits.
Yeah, nonstop.
And other people say, oh, there's really nothing going on. And some people get irritated that have owned this house. They don't want the notoriety, you know, like, just a couple voices in the hallways and orbs floating around, like, yeah, but that's still pretty weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, not everybody has that.
Yeah. So I think I was reading, I can't remember which family it is, but not a whole lot happened while they lived there. So it's sort of insignificant, I guess, in what family it was. But like they owned it from the 70s into the 80s or whatever, lived there, I don't know, 15, 17 years. And they're like, yeah, I mean, you had a goofy creak and a noise here and there, but nothing really significant really happened here.
Yeah.
But then you have these other families where it just is absolute terror.
Right. And yeah, who's to say, yeah, I know, like that during that decade of whoever was in the house at that time, maybe it was quiet,
man.
You know,
and or maybe they weren't threatening.
Right.
So they left them alone.
Who knows? There's so much. Right. And just as far as hauntings, who knows? Man. That's why I think talking about this type of place, kind of get into it, like who experienced what? Did anybody experience it? What's the lore? What's the real documentation of who lived there? What happened? The tragedy. That's the cool part about all this. And as listeners, we hope we can just portray both, all of it. You know,
yeah.
We're not picking a side. Like, yep, this is 100% a real haunted house, or oh no, it's all fake. It's just all for the movie. No, what do we say? If somebody says, no, my family and I were terrorized for whatever long. Got to take them. I mean, we weren't there, you know.
Face value.
Whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, and it's hard, you know, like I said, to dissect some of the movie parts out of it too, because the movie was so fantastic and it was obviously well received. But it talks about the true story of it, the Perrin family and the Enfield hauntings. The actual true story of The Conjuring, namely the Perrin family and Enfield haunting, is scarier than the movies themselves. When The Conjuring was released in 2013, it was met with critical acclaim. Critics everywhere praised it for its all-too-realistic portrayal of the demonic haunting of an innocent family in Rhode Island. Most viewers assumed that the movie was nothing but the wild imaginings of director James Wan, who he also made Saul, so the Saul fame, and Insidious.
Yeah, I love the Insidious movies, too.
Insidious, oh, my gosh. Awesome.
So, and they're so, they say in a lot of those, there's just a way, in the movie, I know, it was a, the way they told that story was a slow burn. They said it's kind of a slow starter, but then once it picked up, it's like relentless. It kind of makes you think of, you know, just the way that it scares you is just unrelenting, you know?
I agree.
So, but they say, and then the actual Perrin family, you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit, is that they say that if people really knew how scary it was, I mean, it's even worse than what it was portrayed in Hollywood, which is crazy because normally you think, oh, Hollywood, they're just making it into something bigger than what it really is.
So we were talking about pre-episode, we were talking about, I was mentioning that the Andrea Perrin, the oldest of the kids, there were five girls. I think that's what I said. Oh my gosh. I can't imagine. That's scary in itself. Poor dad.
No wonder he is tormented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure it just wasn't because of all the estrogen, all the hormones, exactly. The female hormones? Yeah. He's probably like, no, I really wish it was on it because it's probably easier to deal with. But Andrea Perrin was on our friend Jerry and Tracy's Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast a year or two ago. Such a great interview. And she said that if the first movie that was based on their experience, The Conjuring, was, if it really was made what they experienced, it would, you know, just be so much more terrorizing. Watching it would just scare the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually toned it down. But so from what I remember, I think she said that James Wan or whoever wants to redo it, and they want to, or they're hoping they would want to do it like
true to life,
to really show
really
it's going to
cool.
be, yeah, just get ready. So I hope that happens.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything since that, but that would be awesome, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I better be careful what I wish for.
Sometimes truth is the scariest thing.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. Take that for whatever it means. You know,
it's interesting because they started, I think going over this, and especially when you're looking at that family of the parents, you know, why would you be tormented this long? You know, you've got five kids. Wouldn't you want to get them out of that house? You know, they were just incessantly, you know, all the hauntings and just, you know, like, I don't know how somebody could live this long and do this, you know. It's like Emily Menzhouse was talking about, you know, like, you just kind of get used to it. You kind of, you know, it's just a thing, you know, and it's how you live. But they said that the reason that they couldn't just leave was financial. Like,
yeah,
you can't just
afford it.
You can't afford to just walk out of your house. Yeah, you know, exactly. Nobody's going to want to buy when you're like, why do you want to sell it? We just got to get out. You know, like, we're being haunted.
And that reason is a lot of these. I mean, a lot of these type stories
that happen.
You know, everybody, oh, well, how come you just didn't get out? Well, I mean, if it was real, why don't you just. It's not that easy just to pick up and leave, especially when you have a lot of kids. And I mean, it'd be hard if you're just a single person.
Well, they say
just move in and just to move out. I mean, there's a lot of logistics here.
They say a lot of the hauntings were very, the spirits seemed very, almost warm and friendly, you know, when they first started.
Yeah.
They, you know, in the movie it shows like they started smelling this horrible smell. And, you know, the main villain is the Bathsheba, which they said is kind of funny that her name is Bath and that she smelled like rotten, you know. So, but they said actually they would smell pleasant smells. And they said that they would be kissed on the forehead by some of these spirits. And the girls thought, some of the girls thought that was their mom coming in to kiss them. Mm-hmm. And they thought they were like, well, it's not quite the smell of my mom, but it still smelled like roses or, you know, like mom smells like ivory soap, but this smells like roses, you know.
Yeah.
So it was actually very pleasant. To start with. So that's kind of interesting that, right. You know, it was
get
almost
them in close.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then torment them.
That's right. Reel them in.
Demonology 101, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right.
Duh.
I'm your best friend.
Yeah. I mean, Satan does that, right? Look at here. Look at all the fun you're having. Oh man.
I think
turn out so great.
We talk a lot about how animals can perceive things. I know in the movie, that's how they, you know, the dog won't enter. And then the dog ends up dying.
I know.
Like, you should have listened to the dog. You know?
I know. I hate that.
And don't want animals.
I don't care about the people.
Nothing needs to happen to the animals, right?
Why do? Yeah. See, if I was a director, no animal deaths. I
had
don't
to
care.
Mention that. I know. I didn't.
Everybody like, can die except the dogs.
This is a dark enough topic. Why did I have to bring up the animals, right?
It's like Halloween, my favorite movie of all time. I still get upset when Michael kills the dog. I'm like, no, what, Mike?
I know.
What are you doing? Man. Go kill the teenager, but leave the dog alone.
Leave the dog alone.
Come on. You know better. Anyway.
It's a sick mind.
I do, though. I get so upset. I'm like, oh, shoot. Yeah, it's, the movie. I love the movie. It's one of, in my top 10 of all time, The Conjuring 1.
Gosh,
and then The Conjuring 2 and The Conjuring 3 are excellent. The first one, man. Amy and I watched that, whenever it was. What was it 2000? Yeah, 13.
13, yep.
It's weird, 8 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I guess you expect it, right? When, I mean, you always want them to make them exactly, whether it's a Western, a haunting movie, whatever, I don't know, you know, a crime movie, but they're going to Hollywood it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
Got to put a little glitter and sparkle on it.
Yeah, and like Andrea said, maybe that was, and they're like, no, if we actually did it the way it happened, then... Maybe they made it lighter, actually.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, I mean, that's to be expected, honestly. You know, I think it's very rare, that movies do it to a T and don't deviate. But anyway. But, yeah, so.
The smell, it said that the smells went from pleasant. It's so interesting to see the pictures of them and, you know, with the house and all that. And, like, it just looks like a normal family, you know. Like, oh, they're happy. But it's like, oh, my gosh. But they were truly terrorized.
Yeah.
It said the family said they began to experience horrendous smells. The smells stank of rotting flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It said their beds would shake at 5:15 each morning. Roger Perrin would enter the basement and feel a cold, stinking presence behind him. The family typically stayed away from the dirt floor cellar, but the heating equipment would often fail, mysteriously causing Roger to venture down there. Like, it's like, you go first.
Yeah, right.
It's your turn to go down there.
Yeah.
Wood-burning stove on the first floor here.
Oh, my gosh. We'll just fix this, right? Yeah.
We're gonna fix that problem right now. It's like me walking down the stairway after watching Fourth Kind. I'm like, oh, man. Seriously?
It is. It's just, it's like, it so, just, why would you want to stay in, we said that before, like, why would you want to knowingly stay in a haunted house, you know?
So this Bathsheba Sherman.
Yes.
This so-called witch, that's a main character in this whole thing. I mean, or at least part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the main character, you know, and she's not the only entity that, you know, caused the havoc and the creepiness. It says the most haunting spirit in the, well, of course, in the movie, is that of suspected witch Bathsheba Sherman. She was born Bathsheba Thayer in Rhode Island in 1812. She married fellow Rhode Islander Judson Sherman, 1 year older than her, in Thompson, Connecticut. On March 10th, 1844, the two were married by Vernon Stiles, local justice of the peace. Said Bathsheba filled the role of a housewife while her husband, Judson, worked as a farmer on the land. Says they were fairly well off, and Bathsheba and Justin had a son, Herbert. Mm. He was born with Bathsheba, was approximately 37 of 1849. And it says it is possible that they had three other children as well, all of whom did not survive past the age of 7. Though no census records could be found to confirm these reports, the family also took in a boarder most likely to help them on the farm. So, you know, again, how many kids does she have? Not have, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
She was known to be a witch. No photographs of her are found, there's this picture of the Perrin farmhouse, as they call it, mm-hmm. or the old Arnold farmhouse. Looks like the definitely 1800s. And they said, you know, maybe this picture does have Bathsheba in it. You know, who knows? But they can't. Obviously, they can't confirm it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, was she really a witch? Again, no hard evidence supports that she was. It just could be legend and folklore to make it creepier.
Mm-hmm. They were convinced Bathsheba was the main spirit in that house.
Yep.
And obviously, they show that in The Conjuring. She was allegedly every bit as angry in real life as she was in the movie, according to the Perrins.
Right.
Whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be, herself to be the mistress of the house, and she resented the competition with mm-hmm. my mother that she posed for that position, said Andrea Perrin. The oldest daughter. Objects were inexplicably launched across the room and smashed into walls. Doors slammed. Glass shattered. One night, as Carolyn Perrin was sitting in the living room, she felt a piercing pain in her leg. Looking down, she said she saw blood trickling from a small open wound, like from a large needle. Which that was in the main movie, like the mom is starting to show the bruises and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff, and something is doing horrible things.
Yeah.
You know, and then she thinks she's got a medical condition, you know, and deficiency. And
yeah, the mom was definitely the target of this Bathsheba because of the competition. Yeah,
and it's
possible competition.
That's in the movie too. But and then real life, that they say that she, the mother angered her, whereas she lusted after the father. So she felt that she was, that Bathsheba was the female presence in the house, and she was going
took the Roger.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have more on that?
Because I
have
some. No.
Nate, did you? About Bathsheba.
Do either of you know who Lorraine Warren is?
So Lorraine and Ed Warren, they're the investigators.
Okay, okay, they're they're the investigators. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I'm reading, I found an article. It's entitled Correcting the Conjuring House History. This author did research and sort of tried to put actual facts to the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And this one says Lorraine Warren is often credited as being the first to name Bathsheba as a witch and the demonic entity haunting the Harrisville farmhouse, having gained the name through a psychic vision.
They say that.
Yeah, she was a psychic, supposedly.
Ed and Lorraine, in their history, they would go around to different places, and she would have these visualizations, and they would, like, she'd draw a picture or whatever, and they would take it to whatever house or area they were in and show it to the people and say, this is what we're seeing. Do you mind, you know, to try to gain entrance into the home or wherever it was at to be able to try to figure out, you know, some of the haunted areas. And that's how they started gaining their notoriety.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was from her.
And it started back in the 50s, I think. 40s
yes.
or 50s.
So that's why, I mean,
the Warrens.
They went across the Amityville Horror House and Annabelle, the haunted doll we've talked about.
Yeah. They're from the East Coast and they're well known. An episode, or it might be a two-parter on these, because there's so many famous investigations that they were a part of,
mm-hmm.
and how they started, what they, you know, and they're called, you know, charlatans and hoax, you know, they're
yeah, there's a lot of
angles, and I definitely
have
my opinions on them, but I'm going to, you know,
okay.
It's kind of silly to say it during mm-hmm. this. I mean, that's not really the main focus of this, but
yeah,
they have a big part in these. This is one of them.
As you were bringing it up, it says, enter Ed and Lorraine Warren, and where I'm at. The Perrins called on paranormal experts Ed and Lorraine Warren to investigate the farmhouse and to hopefully eradicate the evil spirits within. Again, Lorraine picked up on the Bathsheba. The couple, probably the most well-known paranormal detectives in history, reported that they have investigated over 10,000 cases. Lorraine Warren, who claimed to be a clairvoyant, held a seance at the Perrins' farmhouse. The goal was to make contact with the ghost tormenting the family. In the movie, it's an exorcism, right? They're trying mm-hmm. to exorcise mm-hmm. the main demon, which they do. Spoiler alert, right?
Yeah.
But they're, from the stories.
And it was the mom that got possessed.
Yes, the mom that got possessed. Yes.
That was a creepy.
Oh my gosh. When the vomiting in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's. That to me, like, this is a dark subject.
And they changed her face, kind of like, you know, The Exorcist. Not as creepy, but
pretty creepy, yeah.
Levitated, the chair that they had her tied down, and then she... Oh,
awesome. Those are the scenes that you can't get out of your mind, your psyche, but that's dark, man.
Yeah,
super dark. But they say that she actually was taking... You know, they did a seance in the basement or in the cellar or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And I believe it was the oldest that was that came down and saw her mom. She reported that she said that she, I don't know that it was real specific, but she said she is stuff that things that she couldn't ever get out of her mind. What her mother, they were trying to make contacts with the spirits, but it went awry. You know, like it was not a good thing. You know, so
I don't know. I can't remember if it was Andrea. Because Andrea is the main.
I want to say
she's the only one
Andrea.
That's been really coming out and telling the story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here
on Hillbilly Horror Story, she's been interviewed. She does videos. You know, the other seems like the sisters kind of hold back a little bit. But she's more, and maybe because she's old, the oldest one. Maybe she's feels like she has to be the one to come
spokesperson.
Yeah, for the family and
this
for,
says mm-hmm. in the middle of the séance, Carolyn Perron seemed to become possessed, speaking in tongues and rising chair that all in the air.
The
air. Oldest daughter, Andrea, watched in secret. Okay. So that's, it was Andrea. And would later describe the incident. I thought I was going to pass out, she said. My mother began to speak a language not of this world in a voice not her own. Her chair levitated and she was thrown across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Afterward, Carolyn seemed to return to normal and Roger Perron told the Warrens to leave. That's when he was going to punch Ed, right?
Yeah, I think he did.
Or he did punch him.
He'd had enough of it.
They said, according to Andrea, the family actually stayed in the house until 1980 when they could finally afford a new home. When they left, they said the spirit stopped contacting them. The family was finally at peace. I'm sure they just headed for the hills and like got the heck out. I think they went to Georgia. Is that where they went? I believe that
I did not look into that.
I listened to so many different videos. But yeah, that was one that they said, truly, the economy was just so bad at that time. They just didn't have any other means to make anything else work. So.
The reason Roger... You know, seeing his... Okay, so he didn't really have much. Like I said, I mean, if it was Bathsheba, you know, she took a liking to him. You know, he didn't really get the brunt of it, a lot of the stuff. It was the girls. And Al, I think, like I said, five of them. I think there's only two or three of them that really got it. But that poor mom, she got...
Terrorized.
I mean,
that's putting it nicely.
So him seeing his girls, I mean, obviously as dads, you know, we want to protect our kids and then our wives... He was mad at the Warrens, especially for bringing that. He thought that's why
that brought it in.
Brought it in or made it worse.
Made
that's
it, why right. exacerbated
him.
It.
Get out of here because you're not helping.
Yeah,
you know, seeing his wife getting thrown around and attacked and possessed and all. Yeah, so that's why he punched him.
They know, say that, like,
who asked you anyway here?
Yeah. Andrea said, Karen said, people are free to believe whatever they want to believe, but I know what we experienced. And they say, you know, she's been, obviously she wrote a book and she's been very, She's very clear on the subject. She's not wishy-washy or anything like that. She said that the Conjuring House is a magical. It's a portal cleverly disguised as a farmhouse. It's multiple dimensions interacting simultaneously. I think that's
wild. Mind-boggling.
It isn't.
Which comes to that we were talking about when Carolyn was walking through the kitchen and she looked over and saw that family sitting at the kitchen table in period clothing, like 18th century. And they looked at her. She could see them, but they could see her. And they looked at her like, what are you doing here? Kind of like that time slip.
Quantum leap.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, like two different time periods, cross paths. Who's haunting who, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty weird. That's, yeah. So it could be very, like, what Sean, use your word,
interdimensional. It's my favorite word. It's written. I actually have it carved in the table over here.
That's right.
Interdimensional.
I'm surprised you haven't gotten a shirt made.
If I'm ever not here, you know where I'm at. I'm traveling interdimensionally.
Well, I mean, you've got.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm going.
When are
I'll
you
be
here?
Back. Don't worry. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
You know, you've got the Beastie Boys intergalactic. You got Sean Lehman. He's interdimensional. You know,
another dimension.
I wanted to read this. I found. So if we're gonna keep. And there's a lot more hauntings. It's just not all about Bathsheba. That's just kind of the main one and what the movie portrayed. But it said that there is no hard evidence to support that Bathsheba Sherman was really a witch, only legend and local folklore. But having lived on a neighboring farm in the 1800s, suspicion grew. This is really horrible. But when an infant mysteriously died in her care, when the baby was examined, it was determined that the mortal wound was caused by a large sewing needle that had been impaled at the base of the child's skull. Though the townspeople believe that Bathsheba sacrificed the infant as an offering to the devil, and, you know, from the 1400s and through the, you know, until they kind of gathered their senses, you know, talk about witches, like anybody who's accused of being a witch, you know, so this kind of fits.
I heard you're a witch.
Huh?
I said, I heard you're a witch, so.
Which
was that?
I don't want to get confused.
hey, wait, what?
Which story did you hear? I was so it said.
Where'd Todd go?
Though the townspeople believe that Bathsheba sacrificed. Okay, so it said they believe that she sacrificed the infant as an offering to the devil. Due to insufficient evidence, a court found that she was innocent of any wrongdoing. Despite her naming being cleared legally, the public was not convinced. I think that's interesting that the court actually found her not guilty because. Back then, and especially the centuries earlier, anytime they can convict you,
they throw the book at you, right?
Throw the book at you.
Tie it to the...
Light them up, hang you, whatever.
Pole and light you up.
I'm surprised, Now, but obviously the townspeople didn't
It's interesting
buy the
that
verdict.
So. Your reputation is everything. I mean, once it's skewed, you can't really get it back. I mean, people's perception is everything. And so if they perceive you as guilty... You're going to be guilty whether you are or not. And that's a rough one. But yeah, even back then, it's interesting that they were able to, but yeah, once it's done, it's done. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just thought that was interesting that, they let her off.
I know this is going into more of the Hollywood aspect of it, but I do love the Bathsheba character, the Valak idea and the nun, the crooked man, all of those, you know, all that, demonic presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very dark. But they talk about it. The Valak is the overall main antagonist of the Conjuring universe, serving as the overarching antagonist of the 2013 horror film, The Conjuring, the main antagonist of Conjuring 2 and The Nun, and the overarching antagonist of Annabelle, which I think it's just interesting how all that ties together. It says, this is interesting to look back. You're talking about how this Valak first appeared in written form in, and I'm going to say it's called The False Monarchy of Demons, basically.
Yeah.
The text was an appendix in the 1577, it's called On the Tricks of Demons by Johan Weyer, who himself was a Dutch physician, renowned occultist, and demonologist. In the actual franchise, it appeared in The Conjuring 2. Valak translated means someone. Also, it is a demon, which means it is or a fallen angel who was sent to hell by Jesus Christ. Oh, it's just.
Well, and you know who Valak was in the movie? The nun.
Yes.
And then, of course, they made the movie. That's creepy.
The nun. And it's just. But
that's the
again,
form
that gets
came
in
as the nun.
It gets in your psyche that's it just. That's the stuff that nightmares are made out of.
Yeah.
And then this is the bone-chilling true story of the demon Valak, who terrified audiences in The Nun and The Conjuring. Valak is depicted as the nun, a habit-wearing spirit. The real demon appears as a child riding a two-headed dragon, at least according to a 17th century demon-hunting manual. Have you heard that one?
No.
Skeptics are quick to dismiss the veracity of horror movies that claim to be based on real events, but references to the demon Valak, the one at the center of The Nun, blah, blah, blah. Valak or Valak appears in a variety of medieval grimoires, which were basically manuals on demons and spells. So it's interesting that that's like the actual quote-unquote historical demon really did exist, or at least they talked about. And that to me is so, that's probably the scariest
thing. I have the manual in my back pocket. If I had back pockets right now.
Wait a minute. Where'd I keep my manual? Oh, here it is in my wall. Totally, well, not off the subject, but just a weird random thought. They always have cool names, Valak. Demons always have these cool, they're creepy because you know what they are, but yet if they were just like normal people, I love that, Valak, you know. And
according to Nate's text in his back pocket, it says that Valak controls a legion of serpentine spirits and can summon living serpents to see his evil bit or to do his evil bidding.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Is that right? That's what your manuscript says. My gosh,
I think it's page 7. It's in the manual. It says that. Yeah, Valak's a pretty high in the hierarchy, pretty up there. I think
he appears in the Lesser Key of Solomon. That was his first appearance.
Is that a major or minor key?
It's both. It's all keys all at once.
That's how important he is. Valak. Oh, man. Yeah, that character, that creature, man.
Yeah, look up.
I said
that.
It's so scary they made a movie just about him.
Yes. Yeah. Him, and, her, it.
Him, her, it.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh. We went to the movie theater and saw that. Amy and I on a date night. And have you seen The Nun?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
It looks like it'd be pretty creepy.
It's scary. Oh, yeah. It's intense.
You cannot get it out of your head. That's those
things. The ending's really creepy.
Like I said, it gets stuck in your psyche. And those are things. There are certain movies you watch, and it takes a day or two to get them. Like, it kind of warps the way you think. I think we've talked about movies like this before, but these types of movies that are all intertwined together, it is really, you start kind of looking behind over your shoulder, you know, trying to figure out like, oh my gosh, what was that? And you just, it scares, like you said, well, normally I'm not afraid to go down and have to lock the door, you know, at night, but it's like, do I have to go lock the door tonight? But yeah, this kind of stuff talk is like,
and I'm always big into the demons creepy. And the ghosts and the spirits, you know. But like when you get into this stuff, because I mean, I'm a Bible believer, and they talk about demons, and I remember, and they're not good, they're not nice, they're
M.R. Gorga, right? He told us all about it.
This stuff. You can, it's to me, it's real stuff, and I'm not saying everybody gets possessed. I mean, I think that is real. Now, what demons do, how they do it, why do they do it to certain, you know, but I'm just saying this is really, like, to me, real stuff. And so if a family's tormented by some demon named Valak and a witch or what, you know, not, who knows, witch, whatever, it creeps me out. creeps me out. And that's one of those where I'm like, do we have to, you know, we always watch these movies and it's always, okay, well, good night, ready to go to bed. It's like, oh, man,
after why that, can't.
But then, I do that on purpose though. I'm like, hey, you want to turn out the lights? I watch it at 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, knowing it's getting close to bed.
Watch it in the dark.
And it's just, like you said though, it messes with your psyche. Like I love Halloween. I don't believe in serial killers that you just can't kill.
Yeah.
Creepy, scary movie, but yet I don't go to bed going, oh, better lock the doors because there's, you know, demons can get in and get out however they want, you know, or possess or haunt.
Well, I know when the podcast is over for the night, I need one of you guys to turn on the bathroom light. Candyman's in there.
Old Candyman.
That's Nate's big one, right? I don't blame you, though.
And that's why, that's why I like these type of movies and type of stories. It's too real to me. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know not everybody believes in angels, not everybody believes in demons, and it might not be anything. It might not scare them or creep them out. It does me. So, especially when you tie into like, there was a Bathsheba that may or may not have been a witch. Oh, there is a demon that.
Well, I mean, these are historical characters of this property. Yeah.
And it's, again, what you can't see. I mean, typically demons don't manifest in front of you. I mean, mm-hmm. you only see what the, yeah, a mom getting slammed against the wall or a chair levitating. Or,
oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean?
It's wild to me to hear, like, the most haunted place you've ever been to other people saying, oh, it's not haunted or, you know. And then
you wonder why.
People still... Yeah. People still, right, exactly. Now, do you, yeah.
Well, that family's making it up. That's why everybody, nobody had an experience. Well, you don't know that.
We've talked about some people more open to it or just naturally draws spirits. I don't know. It's really, really strange. Emily Menzhouse talked about that too, right?
Yeah.
So, gosh, it's so creepy though. Would you, this is my question, and I know we talk about this a lot of times. Would you spend the night at the Conjuring House? Definitely we'd want to investigate, right?
I would go for a tour and investigation. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Would you spend the night?
But I'm always like, I don't know.
You're like, demons.
That one, yeah. I don't know. I'm always like, man. I'll sleep.
No sleeping would be involved. I wouldn't want to sleep there for sure.
If we went as a group, that'd be part of the investigation,
yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me, would you spend the night? You're saying sleeping or just spend the night investigating?
Investigating, spend the night. I personally wouldn't want to sleep there. Although, yes. I don't. These families do.
To sleep there, I'm not going to act like I'm, no, Mr. Tough Guy. That one I'd really have to.
No more
unless,
Mr.
Like,
Tough
I have
guy.
20 other people in the same room, maybe.
Yeah.
That one might be a little bit much. Yeah. You know, I don't care if we were like, it's still a slow night. Just
anybody
knowing.
Anybody smell dirt or rotting flesh? Is that?
I don't know. I don't think so. But yes, investigation. Sure, I would. As long as I'm not by myself. No way. Yeah. I wouldn't have gone to the one we did. Not by myself. You know.
Yeah.
If I was, I don't know how Aaron does it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I went to this haunted prison. Whatever. I'm like, really, by yourself?
This was the Conjuring. So it was being sold for $1.2 million.
What'd you say, Nate? October something.
22. This was in September that it was written.
Yeah,
about
something
it.
Like that.
Yeah,
September, this year. October of this year. Yeah,
but owned it for 2 years, mm-hmm. and they turned it into
a bed and breakfast.
Bed and breakfast, yeah. And then they bailed. So like, well, what? You know, maybe they made their money. I don't know. I didn't look into it. I didn't look into the
most well-known haunted house in the U.S., right?
I think I saw something where over the years, the property has made like $42 million, something like that.
Oh, over the years?
Yeah, over all the years.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't... They did sell it, or is still being sold?
I thought they sold it. Or it's on the market for 1.2.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I should have done more research on that.
Yeah. I wasn't really interested in it. I mean.
Yeah.
This was back in September.
I thought we could all pool our money together. Hello?
It went on the house back in September. Or
Nate,
went
you,
on
you
the
know,
market.
You know construction, all that stuff. Go check it out. Check it out, dude. Make sure everything's up and up. You know, good solid foundation, and then let us know.
Yeah, sure.
Sean and I'll be right here. We
I have to go in the basement, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Very dangerous. You might go first.
Come back.
Just hey, have you heard from Nate? Not in a while, but he went a month ago. Oh, well.
Should we go find him? He's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like
he's thorough.
I don't think anybody's to me. It doesn't seem like anybody's going to stay here any length of time. You know what I mean? Eventually, it's unless these spirits ever find some, you know, couple or family that they're copacetic with. You know, maybe. Yeah. But
I don't think they get along with anybody.
I don't think so. We were talking. What's interesting is you were saying another great. It's a ghost story movie is The Others, you know, whether are we haunting the house? Are they haunting the house? Who's the ghost? You know, maybe they're just in another dimension and like, what are you? Oh my gosh, our house is haunted. No, our house is haunted.
Another spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Others, but
yeah, but oh my gosh, what a good, yeah.
That's from the 90s. So you should have seen it. Too bad if you haven't. It said, did the seller of the Arnold estate disclose to the Perrin family that the house was haunted? No. It says, our investigation into the Conjuring true story revealed that the state of Rhode Island does not legally require the seller of a home to inform the buyer of the existence of a supernatural presence, nor does it require them to disclose any paranormal events that have taken place on the property. However, in her book, House of Darkness, House of Light, Andrea Perrin states that on the day that the family moved in, and I remember hearing this, the man selling the house told her dad or father, leave the lights on at night.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And they said,
I'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Sir, can you explain
that in
can
itself?
I ask
is
a question.
sir, that is creepy in itself, right?
What do you mean? Gosh. Usually we turn them out. Yeah. Isn't that a great thing to hear?
That should have gotten somebody's attention, right?
And then one of the stories is the namesake of the estate, Arnold Estate.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Andrea. Mm-hmm. In her book, she states this story of, I believe it's Susan Arnold. Yeah. Susan Arnold, or Mrs. John Arnold, I think is what she's usually referenced as, committed suicide per her story and what most people know in the barn hanging from one of the rafters. They found her, you know, cold, gray, and stiff as a board. And then I think she says that they're in the barn with her mother, Carolyn, and what is it, Scythe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was hanging on the rafter or whatever and came down on its own, hovering and spinning, and attacked her.
Yeah.
And she was wearing thick leather jacket or whatever, so it took the brunt of the blow. Well, this guy, this article that I found very interesting is he's...
Do you know his name?
I'm going up to the top to find it. Gotcha. It's Kenny Bridle.
Okay.
Correcting the Conjuring House history. He did a bunch of snooping and looking into documentations. He found two women of that era with the last name Arnold. The first one died after the apparent suicide. What he found was this Susan Arnold, wife of John Arnold, which is, you know, she's normally depicted as Mrs. John Arnold,
mm-hmm.
That she did pass away by suicide. He went upstairs, or he went to one of their storage rooms. It was locked. He thought something was wrong. So he went through a window onto the shed roof and into another window, and there found his wife suspended from a wardrobe hook with a very small cord. He goes on to explain that she also had a loaded gun, a knife, and a vial of mercury. So she was going out one way or the other.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And in the other room, she laid out clothes for her funeral. So she was pretty determined.
She was done.
That is a prepared suicide.
Yeah, it really is.
And he also found out that from his investigation, it didn't happen at this house. It didn't happen in the barn, and it did not happen at the farmhouse, even though the estate is named after them.
Okay.
Gosh.
So I don't know where all that correlates.
It's all tied.
Historically.
Right, it's the Arnold. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why would that be tied to get?
Okay. Because it's saying that it happened at, it couldn't happen at that house because at that time and now, the property and the house isn't situated to be able to get out on a shed roof and go into another room.
Gotcha.
From the shed roof.
Gotcha.
It becomes part of the lore. You know, there's history, and then there's sketchy history, and then there's what this person said and that person said and this person experience and this story over here. Yeah. It becomes the lore. You know, really, truly. Gosh. It's pretty wild.
You go into the history of these people and mm-hmm. try to find actual facts. And
I think it's a good part of the story too. Yeah. We're not trying to say I'm not saying oh they're full of it. Oh, I believe this person. I don't believe that one. You know, I'm not sure. But there's it's good to bring all that into this discussion because it goes into again all the lore, all the history, all the stories of this house.
Yeah,
it's just.
Well, and you choose.
It just solidifies that I'm not going to stay there.
Yeah.
Well, and you choose. I don't want to own it.
Right.
You choose what story.
Too rich for my blood.
Yeah. But, I mean, you choose what story you want to believe in and, you know, take it for what it is. There's different paths to the same point.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just find that weird that it's
mm-hmm. I do
happened
too,
supposedly happened at a different place, but this is called the Arnold Estate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Could be the Lehman estate.
Hey, don't give me away.
Or maybe the spirits went out one night. And
come for a good haunting. Yes, I think the only other thing I wanted to say, and I know we can wrap this up, is one of the things is the clapping game that they did in the house with that was in the movie, but it was also like a realistic thing. Yeah,
that's a creepy.
Oh my gosh,
that's when the girl was they're walking through the house, right?
Uh huh. Yes.
And then you're trying to somebody's hiding.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to remember what
that's just creepy all in itself.
But yeah, that is where it is, you know, that they say that happened in the actual house. And then with the movie, it is the creepiest thing to me. Like, can you imagine doing that?
No.
I definitely don't want to get a game of the clapping game going on tonight.
Oh, we're doing it right after this.
Oh, right now. Yeah.
we'll turn all the lights off in the house.
Just thinking about some of those scenes. Oh, clap on, clap off. Just thinking about
some of
those
unplug
scenes.
Those. If we start clapping, the lights would turn on and off.
On and off, yeah. That would be really creepy. What's going on?
No, I don't
know. Some
of
those scenes also, we were talking about, that sticks with you. Like,
so she's walking in the room.
Creepy, yes.
Yeah, and then you see the hands reach through the clothes. And that kind of like what you have, Nate, in that cabinet. Or
I just got chills.
Closet.
Oh, yeah.
And then she opens, nothing's there. Oh, my gosh. And then we're talking about the mom who went down to the basement. She's on the stairway.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch black. Door shut, slams behind her. And then she's trying to find the light, whatever. And then the hand, you see or you hear the clap behind her. And then she finally pulls the light and then, she gets the heck out of there.
That gives me the chills.
Yeah. It does. It truly is. It is very well directed.
That was one of the last things. I wrote that down. I put clapping game, unnerving and suspenseful. And in the movie and then the way that they said that kind of stuff actually happened.
That would be very unnerving. Mm. I would agree.
That's as creepy as we get, right?
That's pretty creepy. Mm. I just want to read one more thing.
Okay.
Because this plays a big part of the story. Have any other homeowners who lived in the Perrin family home, have they had paranormal experiences? It says, daughter Andrea Perrin, author of The House of Darkness, House of Light, addressed this question in an interview. She says, everyone who has lived in this house that we know of has experienced this. Some have left screaming and running for their lives. The man who moved in to begin the restoration on the house when we sold it left screaming without his car, without his tools, and without his clothing. She said he never went back to the house, and consequently, the people who owned it, the adjacent landowners, never moved in, and it sat vacant for years. That's what she says. Mm. It says the current owner, now this might be Norma Sutcliffe. Nate, do you know if that's the people that put it up for sale? Because I don't know. It doesn't say a time. It just said the current owner, Norma Sutcliffe, stated that she and her husband, Jerry, have had far less intense experiences in the farmhouse, including the door banging in the front hall, sounds of people talking in another room, and the sounds of footsteps accompanied by a door opening in another room and her husband's chair vibrating in the study. It says the only things that were ever visible to them were a blue light that Norma saw shoot across the bedroom, and her husband once thought he saw a fog in the home. Norma stressed that she always looks at things from a scientific standpoint and that she has never jumped to conclusions over any of these minor experiences in the home. Since the movie's release, Norma has endured an ongoing barrage of trespassers and onlookers. To fight back, she spent months gathering evidence to disprove both Andrea Perrin's story and the movie. And it just says during Norma's conversation with, now this is interesting. Okay. So during Norma's conversation with Andrea Perrin, she states that a minister and his wife who had lived in the home never spoke of experiencing anything paranormal. The real Lorraine Warren attempted to attribute this to the fact that he was a minister. It would not want to reveal such information.
Sure.
So again, what do we
the
say?
The plot just thickens, right?
He says, she says, he believes, she believes.
I know.
Believe what you want.
I know.
Yeah,
the truth is somewhere in there.
I don't know where they come in as owners in the timeline. This is saying that Corey and Jennifer Henson.
Okay, that
they may
like
be the most current.
They bought it.
Yeah.
In June of 2019.
No. Okay,
but now the new fans are saying it's on the market for 1.2.
September. So yeah. So I don't know. Do they still live there? Is it vacant? I don't know. So it's
That's
It's had a lot of owners. Let me just say it that way. Like that should tell you something, right?
Oh yeah.
Nobody
absolutely
wants it very long.
Yeah. So whenever this article, I mean, it's a pretty recent article, I'm guessing, but it just at that time it was the Sutcliffes, whoever. They were. Well, mm-hmm. Whatever. But so what is our final statement about this house? Pretty creepy, I think.
I think so. Yep. It's one of the most haunted houses in the country. Right?
I'm leaning, you know, I mean, I think with every, I don't care what it is, a house, mansion, asylum, prison, I think there's always going to be some people that kind of make their own things up. And then I think,
there's, you know, always embellishments.
Embellishment. Oh, yeah. Hollywood's going to do that. Absolutely. Just, to, you know, they're making the movie. They're going to take maybe 50%, 60, even 70% of it, the real, but then they want to kind of add or change how something mm-hmm. really was. But I'm all in on this. I think
there's something there, definitely.
I agree.
There's too much history.
Too many people. Yeah.
And yeah. I would like to go experience it myself. Again, not to live over any length of time, but to go investigate and kind of mm-hmm. see, be there, you know, experience what it's like.
I got the lights.
I would be, yes. Nate's all lit up, right?
Yeah, we don't want any on the stairway, any lights going out, and then oh can't see. Gosh. I don't want to hear a
clap. Oh,
and not be able to see. Yeah. Nate, flashlights, buddy.
Please,
Nate.
I'd be like, please tell me that was you guys.
I know. Nate, where is Nate?
That's where we become a bunch of cartoon characters, right?
Well, I hope the creepies enjoyed this topic. I did. I'm definitely creeped myself out.
Conjured up some creepiness there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's not the final farewell.
The final farewell.
That's as creative as I get.
So, yeah, there you go. The Conjuring House. Check it out.
This is a good one. Yeah. This is a creepy one.
Well,
though.
Good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So, Mr. Sean, middle-aged moment time. Now, what do you got for us?
This is funny because I'm staying on the side of humor. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I like humor. Aha. You know I do. And that's one of the ways you get through life, right?
Valak the Demon, he was funny.
He was hilarious. He was dead funny. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road. But I'm a big Monty Python fan. And I like to laugh. English humor.
I'll gnaw your ankles off.
So there is a song that I appreciate that I admit. That's good stuff. That I appreciate, and sometimes, and especially, I honestly should all just sing this all the time just to raise the spirits. But it is always look on the bright side of life. I knew we were going to be talking about a lot of dark stuff here with The Conjuring House, so I'm going to reverse it with always look on the bright side of life. So that's what we got to do. We got to either laugh or cry. We might as well laugh. All right, so this goes into, it's going to be hard not to sing some of this. Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this will help you, this will help things turn out for the best. That's why you got to sing it, right? And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. And you got to do the... My lips are too dry to do that.
I can't whistle.
I can't whistle, Clark. That's as whistle as I get right now. If life seems jolly rotten, then there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling... Now, not throw your phone. I didn't say that. Feeling in the dumps, you're fine.
Poor guy.
Don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing, and that's where you whistle again. I'm not going to try that again. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Now I got to get to the best part here. For life is quite absurd, we know that, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow. So always look on the bright side of life. And just before you draw your terminal breath, and this is my favorite part, and I hate this. I'm going to go ahead and say this for the fun factor. Life's a piece of shit. When you look at it, life's a laugh and death's a joke. It's true. You'll see you'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look at the lighter side of your life. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I know. I had to put the expletive. I almost was going to say life's a piece of something else, but I thought I'd throw it out there.
Hey, if that's what it said. Yeah. I mean,
we'll blame Monty Python.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Oh, all you
bring me back a shrubbery.
I am in a Python group. I know this is right.
There's
exactly.
So many great lines.
Me, all those, I mean, I love Python.
I hope our listeners, most of them, know what we're talking about.
We've lost them by this point. Yeah, like, you can't make this stuff up.
Well, the real young ones, maybe not.
No. Yeah, that's all right. Go check out some Python because it'll make you laugh. Like, you got to have a good laugh in this life, right?
And it's not just British humor. It's just humor.
It's just good humor. It's silly. It's crazy. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. The Life of Brian.
Love me some. Yeah.
Holy Grail. I mean, all of those. Yeah.
English swallow or African swallow?
Well, and they're singing that song. Heard that one. Life, yeah. This is at the end of Life of Brian. They're singing that song. Yeah. Always look at the bright side of life while they're all being crucified, which I know is dark humor, but it's like, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do, you know, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, they're like, fade to black, right?
Right.
Comedy genius.
Oh, they are. They're funny. So
thank you for that.
No problem. Coming out of that middle-aged moment and getting out of all that darkness and conjuring that we
did. Do you
think so? It was a little bit dark. A little dark.
Good. That's just my game.
There's always a way to contact us as we come out of this into the light. On our email, we still have email. Email's still a thing, right? At makopodcast@gmail.com. That's Mako with two A's. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok because we're big TikTokers now.
We call it the Tic Tac.
The Tic Tac.
There's a guy on TikTok. He's pretty funny. Amy, I show her the videos and he calls it the Tic Tac.
The Tic Tac. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll ever.
So we're Tic Tacers.
Tic Tacky. I don't know if I'm ever going to be savvy with it, but we're there anyway, right? You can find us on any of your major podcast platforms, whichever one that you prefer. Go there and listen to us because I'm sure we're out there. Wherever what's out there, we're pretty much on it all. And that's it.
That's it.
I'm going to drop the mic one last time tonight. I don't know why I'd make that. It would make a click.
Don't bang your teeth in.
No eating the microphone this time.
No dentist trips.
No dental trips, yeah. I'm tempted to say, you know, we don't get many emails so far, and I'm thinking about maybe the first person that emails us.
We should
after hearing this, we'll get some stickers.
Get a prize.
Yeah.
Get some Why not? Mako stickers. I've got them ready.
I think that's a great idea.
I ordered a bunch ahead of time.
So. We want to make sure it works, right? Does this thing even work? Is this thing on?
I want an email.
Well, I know it's on because I email stuff to it.
Yeah, I do get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know it works.
Hey, thanks, Nate. You don't get your stickers, though. No stickers for you.
No soup for you.
No stickers for you. Well, Nate, what do you think, man? Take us out of here.
I'm not trying to conjure anything up, but that's a wrap.
Ooh, yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Creepies, thanks for listening to episode 41. I love saying that because we are reaching the 50 milestone, aren't
it's
we?
It's wild.
We'll be there before we know
it. It is wild, yep.
Yeah, so thanks, guys. I hope you enjoyed that topic of the Conjuring House. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.